Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
That's right, Dr. Dobson. And friend, thanks to generous listeners like you, Family Talk can reach more and more listeners with practical help and encouragement. To support Family Talk with your best gift, go online to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. Hey, you're listening to James Dobson Family Institute, and I'm your host, Dr. James Dobson, and I am so grateful to have you join us in the broadcast. Every day that you're there, I appreciate it, because without you, we would be talking to the wall here, and I'm just grateful that you care about what we have to say. To start with, I want to share a few verses with you come from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and these are the words spoken by Jesus. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And there is a man who lives out these verses on a daily basis. His name is Barry McGuire. He's been our guest here on numerous occasions. He is my great friend. I knew him in college. You may know him as the car guy, because of his popular TV show, Car Crazy. This man is obsessed with cars and has a deeper passion for sharing Jesus with everyone he comes in contact with. And today you're going to hear a sermon that he preached at Praise Cathedral in South Carolina this past May, where he challenged those listeners to fulfill the Great Commission and bring those who are lost closer to God. Shirley and I were there that day. We were in the audience. We saw the reaction of a couple of thousand people, and I wanted to share what he had to say with you today. So here now is the first part of Barry McGuire's speech that we've titled Taking the Light to the Lost World on today's edition of James Dobson's Family Institute.
Hi, everybody. Great to be with you. I'm not a preacher. I'm a car guy, okay? And I appreciate some of you here as car guys. I love cars. I love cars making shiny. It's an incredible business. And that's kind of my shtick, but it's also what I am. I'm also a fanatic for Jesus. And it's not that you do one or the other. It's like, it's just everything you do is doing to the Lord, you know. As a businessman, I've looked, you know, my whole life, I do market research. Okay, I've been a Christian all my life, all right. I started sharing my faith when I was, well, say 1973, a guy impacted my life. But I've done research in the church because I've always done market research. I've done mission plans. I've done business statements, marketing strategies, all that. So I'm going to talk to you today. The church is in trouble. Have you noticed that? So we can just kind of go along, or we can say, maybe there's something different we can do with all that's going on today, you know? And I can't do a lot, but I can change my life, and maybe I can make a difference. But you need to have some vision. How are we going to get out of this mess? I'm going to provide some statistics in a minute that will shake you a lot. The church has just kind of lost its vision, lost its way. We're just kind of there. And for a lack of vision, people perish. And we know that scripture, Proverbs 29:18. Yes, Jesus died for us. He paid a price for us. But it doesn't stop there. It starts there. He died for us, and then we live for him, right? We don't live for ourselves. We live for him. But most of us are living for ourselves. And, you know, he saved us from hell. We didn't deserve it. He saved us. We're saved, and then we go about it, and we get mad if he didn't show up for this little issue or that little issue, and people are wondering where he is. I cannot believe what's going on in the church today. We have a lethargic church. The church has gone to sleep. And we need to do something about that. We need to ignite the church. I hear an amen. It is the Great Commission, okay? I mean, I'm going to talk to you a lot about the Great Commission today. And it's for all of us. It's not just for some. It's not go ye who are gifted. You know, people say, oh, Barry, well, you got the gift. You know, well, I didn't always have the gift. I was an introvert. Hard to believe. I was an introvert. Karen, you ask Karen after church. We would go to functions. I would hide behind her. She's never known a stranger. And she was my blessing. I went ahead and, you know, and I like to sell car wax. I'm a salesman, but you get me with people I don't know. I'm an introvert. A lot of you like that day. I can't do what Barry does. Well, guess what? When you focus, when you take responsibility for leading everybody every day closer to Jesus, you just start thinking about how you can get them there, and you forget that you're an introvert, and you start talking. And after a while, I have 40 years of me doing this, it changes your life, okay? The Great Commission is for all of us. I have the burden today in just a few short minutes. I want to take you from I don't share my faith to I want to share my faith, and I want to share it every moment of every day. Can I do that in a short period? I heard you're good listeners. You might take out something to write on. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today. I'm going to be short on story and more on scriptures. I really feel, and I don't normally do that, but, you know, I could say stuff and you could, I could walk, leave from this place and say, oh, that Barry, don't you just love his passion for the Lord? Hey, he was really good. It's really fun to listen to him. If that's where you leave today, I've missed the point and you've missed the point. It's not about me. It's not about me, it's about my passion. It's about God's passion for the lost. That's what it's about. The prevailing thought is I don't share my faith. I don't want to share my faith. I'm not qualified to share my faith. You have to be paid to share your faith. The pastor shares his faith, but not me. We have a million excuses, but that's all they are is excuses. I got to tell you, they just don't hold up. It is the Great Commission. Okay, it's at the top of the heap. Understand that. When you interview, you see studies, how do you share your faith? The studies come back about 30-35% of all Christians share their faith. But then you get behind that. Well, how do you share your faith? Well, I live a good life. You know, I live a really good life. I'm doing lots of good things. It's not about doing good things. There's this phrase of actions speak louder than words. Well, actually, they don't speak louder than words. It's hearing by the word of God. Actions speak before words, okay? If your actions match your words have power. And it doesn't matter how poor you say them. When I first started out, I bumbled all over the place, but they knew I was sincere. If your actions don't match your words, it doesn't matter how eloquent you are, your words are powerless. We gotta start living our faith, okay? We just gotta do that. It's not about actions. It's just not. Less than 1% of us are sharing our faith. While 35% of us say we're sharing our faith, only 1% are actually sharing our faith. Most people feel like if they're living a good life and maybe invite somebody to church sometime, they're sharing their faith. That's fine. That's all fine and good. But to be intentional at sharing your faith, it's less than 1% of us. Okay? Just go ye. Go ye into the world. And preach the gospel. It doesn't say go ye into the world and care for the poor. It doesn't say go ye for the Great Commission. This is the top of the heap now. It doesn't say go ye in the world and stop gambling. Go ye in the world and stop human trafficking. Go in the world and stop pornography. Go into the world and win elections. It doesn't even say go into the world and pray or go into the world and read the Bible. All those things are incredibly important. But above it all, go in the world and preach the gospel. You can pray and you can humble yourself and pray all you want. But until you say something, it means nothing. All right? I mean, we're saved by faith, right? Not by works. But faith without works is useless. It is like dynamic. And we're kind of said, we're saved by faith. I'm living under grace. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm good. You know, we're going through the motions. We're having a form of godliness, but denying the power there. We're not making a difference. That's why we're not making a difference, folks. We're just not. Title of my sermon, okay? Get this. If you grab a hold of this concept, it'll change your life, I guarantee you. Follow the nudge, live in the fog. Teenagers, if you can grab onto this, every one of you, if you look at me for just a moment, if you can grab onto this, change your life. If you can grab onto this, God will direct everything in your life and make everything in your life work for good. This is powerful. Oh, if I could have only understood this when I was your age. But I'm my age. It's taken me 50 years to get here. But I'm sharing it for you today. Grab onto it, please. 70% of all the population says they're Christians. Okay? Do you believe that? Do you believe 70% of the population is Christian? They say they're Christian. Worst possible thing they say they are, then live like the devil. And what does that do to everybody watching them, you know? 70% say they're Christian. Less than 20% of us, of our U.S. population, goes to church on a regular basis. And of all those who go to church on a regular basis, the 20%, only half of those are saved. Half of all those going to church are going because they like the people and they can speak the language and then go through the motions and have good fellowship and everybody loves them to death. It's great, but they're not saved. That means only 10% of us, 33 million, 35 million at most. We have the gospel. We have the good news. One thing we should be incredibly grateful. Think about all the people that spoke into our lives to get us where we are. It didn't happen by accident. How is it that we're part of that 10%? It's unbelievable. Out of the whole Bible, only 10%, we're part of that 10%. But 90% need what we have. So the responsibility on us is incredibly overwhelming. Why is it that we're down to 10%? Why did that happen? Why is it the world's coming apart? You look, can you believe what's going on in the world? I mean, I almost don't want to hear the news anymore. Talk to people and the anger, the racial tension. The further you get away from Jesus, we've gone a long way away from Jesus, and we got all this chaos. You know, we got to get back. That's our job. That's your job. Are you following me, church? I mean, this is, we can go through the motions, but now we need to actually do it. I'm going to give you truth today, okay? I'm going to give you some hard truth today. You shall know the truth, it'll set you free. A lot of you are trapped in struggles right now. You didn't sleep well last night. You're struggling with something. I mean, we all have struggles. But if you're struggling, you don't know where God is. If you're worrying, you're not people of faith. You can't have faith and worry. They don't coexist. All right? So we're going to help you get to that faith side. And it all happens when you follow the nudge and you live in the fog. The world is falling apart. And why is it falling apart? It is spiritual warfare. We look at all what's going on, and I sit in public policy meetings in Washington, D.C., and then there's lots of Christians. And how do we do this? And how do we fund these candidates? And how do we block them there? And they got the press. And I hear all these conversations. And maybe we ought to pray about it first. You know, can we really fight spiritual warfare with the minds of men? We can't do that. We're in spiritual warfare. So I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. I'm going to go through kind of fast because you know them, but I'm building a case to the end. This is truth. I did want to give you this warning. First off, the truth can set you free, but also and you might think about leaving because I might cause you to sin here by the end of the service because you're going to hear truth right now from me, okay? It's not my words, it's God's words. But there is this scripture that says, if you know the truth and don't do it, it's sin. And you're going to have to deal with that at the end of the service, okay? It is spiritual warfare. I'm going to give you, again, scriptures that you know pretty well, but put them in context. I'm going to build, just stay with me, we're going to build more than an argument, we're going to build a foundation for you to live your life on. And I got to put these scriptures in a way that you start understanding how clearly, how important, how bad it is if you don't, and how much fun it is if you do, if you share your faith on a personal basis, okay? First off, what should we do? Be alert, 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We know that. We've all heard that scripture. But it's true. Okay? That's what he's doing right now. It gets worse. Ephesians 6:12. And you know the scripture. You know it. But it's time to start taking scripture and applying it to our lives. And actually realize this is real. This is the game. It's game on. This is where we live right now. And for those of us who know the Lord, we have to understand what the dynamics are and act on it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Go figure. Have you noticed any spiritual wickedness in high places lately? Can you believe it? Ephesians 2:2. You're trying to figure out, well, how can people make these decisions? I mean, they're intelligent people. Don't care if they're liberal or what. You know, how does a grown man think that men should be able to go to girls' bathrooms? I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You could name all kinds of things. How are they? What can they possibly be thinking? Why? I tell you the why. You used to live in sin. Ephesians 2:2. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God, following the passionate desires and inclinations of their sinful nature. He's doing it. It is spiritual warfare. Satan's at work in our world, and we're not even standing up to be counted. All we're doing is poking fingers saying, you know, and we rush to our churches and praise songs and go out and complain the rest of the week about how bad things are. That's where the church is today, folks. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who is the god of this world. Jesus said Satan's the god of this world. I'm not making this up. This is not me. Satan, who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. How can they do that? He's blinded their minds. He's blinded. Every time, next time you see something stupid going, they're saying something, and the kids, they're protesting. They don't even know what they're protesting about. And you got the black people yelling at those horrible Christians, and they're discriminating, and they're anti this, and yes, the transgender community, and they're yelling all these things that aren't true, but they believe them to be true. God has blinded their eyes, okay? They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. We can see it. It's so clear. It's like, duh, what are they thinking? Their eyes are blinded, and we have the good news. They're lost. And the church going about, all we want to do is just be mad at them. We've turned our lights out. 35 million of us have turned our lights out. Do you hear me? That's where it is. Only 1% of us sharing our faith. We have turned our lights out. And we've left them in darkness, and we're mad at them. What on earth? Should we not be driven to our knees? 86% of the unchurched. 86, these are hard numbers, folks. 86% of the unchurched, no matter how vulgar, how obscene, how womanizing, how foul they are, it doesn't matter. 86% of the unchurched know the world's out of control. Duh. They can see it. They can see that. And they would like to believe there's a God that can make sense out of it. They would like to believe there's a God. And they're actually looking for somebody to tell them. But less than 1% of us are telling them. That's the problem. Don't be mad at them. Don't be mad at them. We got bad mad at us. Here's the bad news. We're the problem, okay? That's the bad news. Good news is they want out of the problem. I've been sharing my faith every day for over 40 years. I can tell you, it's never been easier. It's never been easier. Everybody needs the Lord. You can move people from laughter to tears in seconds. Just by asking if they're okay, just by sharing love. People are hungry for love. They're hungry for love. They want somebody to, when you reach out, we are a peculiar people. I never liked that phrase earlier in my life. I realized we are a peculiar. When we just love on people, it's not hard. I kept wanting to do all kinds of programs or whatever. I just love on people. You can love on people. You don't need any training to love on people, okay? The good news they want out, that is opportunity knocking. Right now, when you walk out this door, everybody, here's the, I'm going to say this over and over, move everybody, every day, closer to Jesus. Did you hear me? Be resolved. I'm calling you to be resolved right now, if you've never thought about it. Be resolved to move everybody, every day, closer to Jesus. You could do it in a moment. It just has to be intentional, that's all. It just has to be. I can move my wife away from the Lord. I can move her away from God. Everything we do and say moves people closer or further away from God. I could say something stupid to my wife, and when I look at her face, I thought, I just moved her. I didn't cost her salvation, but I cost her joy. From your spouse to your family, whatever, be content. Have this on your mind. I want to move everybody every day closer to Jesus. It will change your life. So what should we do? Wake up. John 4:35 says, wake up and look around. It's literally what it says. Wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. 86% of the unchurched want to know. And the harvesters, that's us, are paid good wages. And the fruit they harvest, get this, is the people they brought to eternal life, in case there's any doubt, okay? What a joy that awaits. It's all in the scripture. What a joy that awaits the planter, those that start the process and those that complete it and all those in between. Sometimes it'll take 20 different times. I start out being very impatient, wanting them saved right then. You just need to let God, just if you move them a skosh, I'm good. But we all need to be moving them a skosh. Move everybody every day closer to Jesus. It is a team sport. I sometimes laugh when people are in trouble and they wonder why I'm not sympathetic with it, because God's up to something. You're not alone. God's right there. He's doing something really special for you. I got to tell you, he really is. It's a team sport, so you do it all the time. 1 Corinthians 3:8, the one who plants, it's more of the same, but it just keeps going. The one who plants and the one who waters work together for the same purpose. And both are rewarded for their hard work. There are rewards in heaven. If you don't believe that, there's lots of scriptures on that. You want your rewards now or rewards in heaven? I'm looking for rewards in heaven. I want more responsibility in heaven. I want more blessings in heaven. Most of us are living our lives for our purposes. What's God's purpose for my life, you know? We're living for our purposes. It's not about our purpose. It's about his purpose. He has a unique plan for every one of us to fulfill his purpose, right? To seek and save the lost. You get caught up, your job, anything you're doing, you get so important. Whatever fills your prayers, I went for 2.5 years, I was so dry, I had nothing. I mean, I was doing everything right. I was just dry. I kept crying out to God, where are you, God? Where are you, God? My business was struggling for 2.5 years. Help my business and do that. I prayed all these prayers. And a radio preacher talked to me as I was driving down the road. He said, who's your God? I know who my God is. He said, I'll ask you again, who's your God? I'll tell you who your God is. Whatever fills your prayers is your God. Boy, I couldn't get home fast enough to get on my knees and weep before God. And I went years before I ever prayed for my business again, you know. And then things just started happening. It's all about God. It's about this. It's about relationship and living for his purpose. That's the whole thing. Life is about redemption. Pure and simple. Everything else is hay and stubble. Nothing else matters. We got family, we got cars. It's not like I don't like my cars. I like SC football, sorry. I have patience. I enjoy life. But it's all about God. You just thank God for all in the midst of the celebration. When we just scored the final touchdown and going, I just look up to God and say, God, you're just so good. I get to enjoy this. And the agony of defeat, I still want to say it. People are watching you. How are you operating? You're going to have challenges. God's going to bring all kinds of challenges. I thank God for every bad thing that happened in my life, because that's where I got my growth spurts. I really learned what I'm talking about this morning. In the bad times, we don't grow in the good times. We grow in the bad times. If you're in a bad time right now, enjoy the trip. Don't waste the experience. Don't waste it, you know. It is about being intentionally sharing your faith. Not just being good. A cup of cold water is fine. But a cup of cold water in Jesus' name leads them to the Lord. Okay. You can't just be good. There's a million ways to let people know you're a Christian. I ask, how long you known him? Oh, 20 years. Is he a Christian? Well, I think so. Or do they know you're a Christian? Well, I think so. What? I do that instantly. When I meet somebody new, I say something about my church. It's a full-time sport. It's not, find somebody to share your faith with today, you know. Well, out of all the people who are going to hell, I'm supposed to pick one? No. And if you're just going to pick one, you'll pick none. This is full-time. This is what you live for. Every moment of every day, that's what you're living for.
Well, this is Dr. James Dobson, and I hope you were encouraged and enlightened and maybe inspired. Challenged would be a better word, to be bolder in sharing your faith with others. I invite you to go to the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about Barry McGuire and his ministry, which is called Ignite America. He's doing a great work. That's drjamesdobson.org. Then click on the broadcast tab. As we close, a quick reminder for you listeners, there is now a new way that you can stay up with our ministry, James Dobson Family Institute, and you can hear all the new broadcasts and the archives. And it is so simple. It's called Amazon Alexa. And it's a hands-free way to listen to us, me and others, on our daily program. Learn how to activate your Alexa by visiting drjamesdobson.org/Alexa. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us tomorrow to hear the remainder of Barry McGuire's moving speech here on James Dobson Family Institute.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.